Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it. Toppy, toppy.
It's Burkamp.
Hashtag fuck
Ennis. That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. How the devil are we all? It's the United Away show. We're going to get into it in a second, but before we do that, I've got a couple of quick shout outs. The first one, the show tonight is dedicated to John Mell. On behalf of myself and all the boys at ABW, our thoughts are with Ellis Mell. He's a top, top man, and we love you, bro. Keep your chin up. Keep going forward. Now to the chat box. First, the box was Ron Reed. Then it was Archie. Jay Robbs there. Joshua Page. Tom Douglas. Carlito El Guna. Lossless. MJL. Christopher Iwanda. Archie. Maxi B. Ron Reed. I might have mentioned you twice. I don't know. Cactus Jack 81. Who's new? Corey Austin. The magnificent Corey Austin. Benjamin Ashton, Cali Dwell Guna. Then we've got two donations. J Rob smashes in and he says, "'Twas a pile of shite. Like Saka, he's a good lad." J Rob, you're not wrong. I'm back me. Benjamin Ashton piles in then with a donation and he says, "Big opportunity missed. When can we get worried?" Well, we're going to get into that, Benjamin. We really are. Captain Sirkins there, Marcus Hodges, Grant Wilborn. Stephen Edwards, Red and White Army TV's there. Let's get on with the show. Car's got an early start, and to be quite frank, that was a bag of wank. So, to my two guests tonight, first of all, he has to be here because nobody else would. It's that London guy, it's Carl. Say hello, Carl.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
You're very well by the looks of things.
No, fuck Emery. Fuck the team, fuck everything. I'm all discombobulated after that performance.
It wasn't the best, was it? Really, we've seen some dog shit football over the years, but Jesus wept. Next, it's the button monkey. It's Get Well Soon Ozil. Say hello, Get Well Soon Ozil.
Guten Morgen.
You right, pal?
Yes, I am. We still so John, I'm covering for John. Yeah, we won't say why, but it's yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, John.
John's got an emergency. Everything's okay. You checked in earlier on. But he's babysitting. Enjoy, John.
We've become a sad pod of late. And we needed a game tonight, didn't we, Jace, to cheer everybody up? And what happened?
I'm not being funny, okay.
You're never funny, Jace.
No, I know. But every week, it's just a shower of shit. It really is. I mean, thankfully, we came back last week with the Villa game. You know, the only game two games I've enjoyed this season was the Newcastle performance and the Forest one. So let's get on with it. Carl, to you first, mate. Lineups. Chambers in at right back. No Ozil, not even the squad. No Willock, no Ceballos starting. We set up defensively, didn't we?
We set up defensively, but still can't defend. Does no one see the irony in it? It's, when I saw that team, I literally thought he's not come to win the game. There was nothing in that team that showed that he wanted to win that game. For me, I'm sick of people always going on about Ozil, but Ozil is a creative midfielder and you don't bring him, like, not even in the squad. We'll get onto the Ozil thing later again, but I think, even I have to think, the way Ozil's being treated by Emre is disgusting. I think it really is. Both our fullbacks came through games and you don't even put them on the bench for the Man United game. Again, that screams to me, in order for them to get match fit, they have to play matches. How do you get match fit if you don't play matches? So I'm not saying start them. By no means, Leeds, would I say start them, but at least bring one of them and you don't bring either of them. So for me, Emre got the team wrong from the get-go. But for the players that he did put out on the pitch, I'm glad that Chambers started. I still don't understand how Socrates and Luiz, what he sees in them to play together. I have no idea whatsoever. Then you play a midfield of Torreira, Xhaka and Guendouzi. So there is, I would say, zero creativity in that midfield. None of those players are renowned for having the dispense splitting pass or being the most creative in the leagues or whatever. So from there, you're looking at that and thinking, where's your creativity coming from? And then you look at Pepe, Aubameyang, Saka. I'm very glad that he sees something in Saka for him to start another game, because he was sacrificed for the Aston Villa game. But my worry is that he might burn out, because he's played again half against Aston Villa. He played in Europe. He played then against Nottingham Forest and now again today. So I'm a bit wary of burning him out. He's very young. Yes, he should have energy to burn and to run around, and he could probably play another 90 minutes right now if we really wanted him to. But you have to be cautious with these young players. So the team that we put out, I wasn't the most happy about it. For some reason, he can't drop Xhaka. I know Xhaka's been confirmed as our captain, but for me, this guy, I don't know what Emre sees in Xhaka in training that no other player or no other supporter can see. I guess that's the reason why he gets paid the big bucks, but the team for me wasn't the one that I would have picked, I guess.
Fair enough. I mean, I'll defend him on Tierney, Holding and Bellerin. If the medical guys aren't saying they're fit enough to go, then they're not fit enough to go. But let's get into it. Thomas McClements has smashed in with a donation, and he says, "Someone tuna and mash me up." Danny, I think that is a reference to your foul eating habits.
Shut your face.
The match started poorly. What I did see is that the press was on. We were pressing them high first 10 minutes. Then Chambers getting an early yellow for a foul on James. It was lazy. It was silly from Chambers. Did you think at that moment, uh-oh? Dan?
I was just... All I heard was you go, I'm not just sitting here knitting a scarf, Jace. I'm interacting with our beautiful, wonderful listeners, and I'm doing the tweets. So, and I was just, someone had put in here we go, formerly Noza, always on the ball. To be fair, Hector played over the weekend for the under-23s. He did indeed. He played the entire 90 minutes in the under-23s 2-2 draw with Liverpool. We were 2-0 down, ended 2-2. And I'm just looking.
Can you answer the question I asked you?
I'm just seeing if Tierney played. Tierney didn't play. Maverick Palmer played. Well, I'll ask you the question again. I was looking at one of our viewers asked a question and I was confirming it.
Focus.
Honest to God. See, I'm not being funny, dear listener, okay? I've got to watch that crap. Oh, Sean Lee Goodwin smashes in with a massive donation. Check his 10 quid and he says, thank you. Well, Sean Lee, you make me feel better, because this button monkey doesn't make me feel better. As I said, beginning of the game, first 10 minutes, we've got a press on. We're having a go high up the pitch. They've got pace coming at us. And Chambers picks up a cheap yellow, silly movement. He goes to grab Dan James. Were you worried at that point?
Yes, because he's an important part of our defence. I thought Dan James is looking lively. Someone did go on about it in the summer that we should have bought him. I can't remember who it was because they don't say it often enough for me to remember. But yeah, I was a little bit concerned. You can't go making mistakes like that so early on in the game, because when you do, it restricts what you can do. But you didn't ask me what I thought of the lineup, Jace.
I don't. I only ask one person about the lineup. Then we get on to the game.
Well, can I give you a fact about the lineup?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there is. I put no one in central midfield for goals or assists. Emery said, and I quote, wanted another ball winner. So Torreira, Xhaka, and Guendouzi, they've played 243 games for Arsenal, 15 goals, 21 assists. That's nearly a goal every 20 games and an assist every 11 games, 12 games. How are you going to go? Aubameyang, you might as well have gone, we're playing those three. Aubameyang, son, you're not playing because we're not going to give you anything to play with. So, there you go. That is just really irritating. I don't know how you could. If Aubameyang, because we all know Aubameyang watches this. Aubameyang, if you want to go in January, You have my blessing because you, sir, should not be dealing with this amount of shit. And take Lacker with you. He's also too good. We're not worthy, Jace, are we? Not worthy at all.
To be fair, he's bailing us out of the caca every week. To be fair, we've gone out, we've bought him. We've bought two world-class strikers, in my opinion. But they're the ones who keep on bailing us out. And it's not, you know, I mean, just look at the product we put on the pitch today. It was poor. So over to you now. Unique 79. We'll ask that later, pal. And we're not going to avoid that question. We're really not. But Unique 79 smashes in the donation. Thank you, pal. You're an absolute rock star. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought now. You've done me, Unique. You've done me.
because that's a question we all want to talk about, and you spent all day winding Chris up about it in the WhatsApp group.
Oh, we'll come on to Christopher later.
Oh, God, don't.
Sorry, Carl. We see some good counter-attacking football. Unfortunately, Caller places a ball to nowhere in the box. I'm not sure if Aubameyang checked his run. You have Lingard pulling down Saka then, okay? In exactly the same way that Chambers pulled back Dan James. No yellow. I'm having a bit of a moan about this because it was clearly a yellow card offence.
Inconsistency from the referee today. I don't think the referee had the best game. Ironically, I think the only good thing he'd done was delayed blowing his whistle for our goal, but we'll talk about that later. But it was very inconsistent because there was a few fouls that Man United got away with. Ashley Young got away with one, Lingard got away with one, McTominay got away with one. And it seemed that Chambers, on his first foul on Dan James, got a yellow card. I mean, to be honest, I'm not really a believer of this totting up process. I believe if it's a foul, if it's in the first minute or 90th minute, if it's a yellow card offence, it's a yellow card offence. It doesn't matter when it is, to be honest. So for me, if you're going to book one person for one thing, you've got to book exactly the same person for the other thing. And it just seemed to me that they were getting the rub of the green from the referee because, like you said, Jason, they were doing exactly the same that we were doing to them, but getting away with it. And it's not fair. And your referee is supposed to be impartial. And I know we can sit here and we always think that we always see our club with our rose-tinted glasses. I get that. I understand. But even a neutral could sit there and say, because think about Gary Neville. Gary Neville, Man United hero. And even he was saying, well, you know, that should be a yellow card for Lingard and that should be a yellow card for to McTominay, and they weren't getting it.
No, absolutely. And we're going to come on to one in a second. But Dan, then you get, obviously, first of all, Marcus Hodges smashes in the donation, $10, and he says, you guys are awesome. Marcus, you are far too kind as always, and thank you ever so much, bro. You're a rock star.
He wasn't talking about Danny then, by the way. He's talking about me and you, Jason.
He's just talking about you, to be honest with me.
I was nice to you, Carl, when we met.
You fucking had me walking around the stadium about you was nice to me. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it? You see three crosses, two from Luis, one from Chambers. We're plastering good crosses in, maybe a bit high, but we got nobody attacking the ball. And that goes back to such a defensive midfield. Do you find that frustrating? What do you think?
We need to get all of the players to sit down. I've got an idea about Emery later, remind me. We need to sit all the players down, show them cards of the players. Go, this is Peter Crouch. Ball's in, yes. This is Giroud. Ball's in, yes. This is Aubameyang. Ball's in, no. Ball's through, yes. Do that. Don't keep doing this because, as you saw, ping, 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 ping like that over and over. It's like a game of ping, bloody ping pong. Watching them do it. Why do you keep fucking doing it? What is Aubameyang's main strengths? Speed and running at the players and then getting a shot. How many times was he allowed to do that? How many through balls were coming through? None, because Xhaka, Torreira and Guendouzi were fucking useless most of the time. Guendouzi gets a pass because he's a young man and he was brilliant at times and he was shit at times. But if you're going to play one man up front, you need to play to his strengths. And his strengths are not ping-ponging the ball up over him unless he's going to climb on someone's back like you do when you're having a celebration, like when you take your missus to a festival. and then she wants to sit on your shoulders. Unless someone's going to do that with Aubameyang, it's absolutely fucking pointless constantly doing those balls in. And most of them were just inaccurate nonsense anyway, like our free kicks and our corners. I mean, what was Pepe doing when he was taking free kicks and corners? He might as well just pick the ball up and go and hand it to their goalkeeper for all the fucking use they were. Driving me nuts, Jace. I'm not happy.
I know. Neither am I. Cuddle,
Carl.
If you two start cuddling on this show, okay, there's going to be hell to play.
Oh, we got a cuddle.
Then yes, you then see Rashford pick up a yellow, sliding in 2 feet off the ground. It would have been a harsh red, and I think he picked up the yellow simply because of conditions. But then you see Leno make a great save from Pereira. In the build-up to that, Pereira, he went past Guendouzi. Guendouzi was floundering. Oh, we were showing our defensive frailties already, weren't we, Carl?
Indeed, because it's what Arsenal do. Arsenal don't defend properly. We haven't defended properly since 2002. When did Adams leave? That's what I'm going to say.
Whoa. We were invincible in 2004.
Don't be defended properly, to be honest, but hey-ho. Do you know what? Like, no, it's just typical Arsenal, and the worst thing is that everyone can see apart from the man in charge who can't see. There was a point where I think the first shot on goal in the whole game, I think, was that in the 17th minute, I believe. So no team really wanted to go for it. But then Man United started to get on top, and it was a good save from our goalkeeper. However, it just seemed too easy to let them in onto our goal. And it's symptomatic of Arsenal this season, or Arsenal under Emery. Why are we allowing teams just to getting on our goal? Like, even you think that was the most defensive midfield that we could possibly have ever put out. And I'm not saying that we're not going to allow any shots on goal, because that'd be stupid for me to think that. And I don't think that at all. However, we shouldn't have made it as easy as we did to allow Manchester United. And let's face it, Manchester United midfield wasn't great today either. At all. So for them to get in on our back line so quickly was very frustrating.
It was, wasn't it? Another thing that was frustrating, Dan, you get Saka put Pepe free for a shot. Lovely ball. He's got plenty of time. And he just fires over. Not good, was it?
No, I've never done it. The last time I played football, I was in primary school, and I just stood there by the
goal. You were on your feet. You're on your feet as well, weren't you?
I certainly was, because it would have been unfair. I know that we're ABW are going to get together a five-a-side team, and I'm going in goal in the electric chair, and no one's getting anything past me, and I'm not playing rush goalie. I want to know, in training, if anybody plays in training, does the manager ever go, right, you lot, there's the goal, and I want you to ping balls at the goal from all over the pitch. Everybody do it for a couple of hours once a week, just so that when you do get a chance to shoot a goal, you're not putting it over or putting it wide or falling over or kicking it at the goalkeeper. Just have a few shots at goal. It can't be that fucking hard for any of our players to constantly get them on target. It's not that hard. We saw with Watford, they had 30-odd shots at target, and I think half of them were on target for shots at goal. So how can it be someone who is so accurate from the spot last season, where he scored 10 out of 11 penalties? You've got to be pretty good at getting the ball on target to be able to score that many penalties, and then to score another 11 goals, you've got to be pretty bloody good. But tonight, he was absolutely shocking from free kicks, from corners, from having a shot on goal. It's just like, oh my God, like someone put in the chat here, maybe because we're paying instalments, he's playing in instalments, because fuck me, he was shit tonight.
Yeah, he wasn't good, is he, to be fair? We'll come on to him a bit later.
Do they do that, Jace? Do they actually go, right, I want you to go out there and have shots at goal with no one in goal in training? Because it looks like they'd never bloody do it.
I don't know what goes on in training, mate. You'd have to ask Dave Faber on that, because...
No, in general, you know, not Arsenal.
You should do, yeah. You know, you would have thought, you know, that's part and parcel of the training, but there you go. Saka's looking good at this point, full of vim going forward. Then we see two poor challenges in succession from United. Friend, in all fairness to him, was playing on. Pereira picks up a yellow from the ensuing free kick. I mean, conditions are wet. It is soaking wet. You'd think we'd take a pot shot at goal. but Norway tried to be over too clever. I can't even remember who took the fucking free kick. It was just.
You should, like you're saying, it should do. But when the ball is going to be skimming off the surface or out of wet hands or players slipping over, just have a few fucking pot shots.
Yeah, but our players are not smart enough for that, Danny. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, you think that our players would be smart enough to do that. You think our.
Well, that's how they scored.
You think our captain would be smart enough to say, yeah, he could do it, but we'll talk about him in a minute.
Let's go back to this free kick. I just think this free kick sums up our set piece in general. We play it out wide, trying to be clever, and it just ends up going to play. Quite frankly, Carl, it was pathetic, wasn't it?
Ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous because I don't understand why he tried to be too clever. It was Xhaka that played it out to Chambers, I believe, and then Chambers almost got surprised by it because he didn't know what he was doing. It was just, I don't know. You have the ball in the centre of the goal and you think that you'd be able to just take a little shot at goal, even just to test the goalkeeper, but no. Again, like you said, Jason, we try to be too clever, and it's a story of Arsenal. You know, why take a shot from like 20 yards out when you can try and walk it into the goal? It's been systematic in Arsenal for years, and I thought it might have changed with Wenger going, because I know he didn't like players taking shots from out wide. He wanted to. He was almost like you wasn't allowed to. You had to only take a shot from inside the box. And that was a natural thing that I know that he said he doesn't like players taking shots from outside the goal, but outside the box, sorry, my bad. But yeah, like you said, it was just ridiculous. Why would you not take almost a free shot at goal?
It was very, very frustrating. We then see De Gea save from Pepe. Young picks up a yellow for foul on Guendouzi. Then Danny Socrates against Rashford. Some really good defending from Socrates, to be fair to him. He, you know, people can say Rashford, you know, had a poor second touch or whatever, but Socrates did the job on him, nullified the threat. That was the first really bit of good defending we'd seen, wasn't it?
Happened a few times in the night that he was turned quickly and he managed to get back round. A couple of times he went down whilst making a tackle, got back up again. A couple of times the ball bounced off of the players and he was there to pick up the loose ball and clear it. Guendouzi was dipping into the back lot, into the defence, getting the ball, clearing it. At times it's a little bit chaotic, but it seems to work. And it's good to see Pappy have a good game, because I do like having a mental case playing for the team, but not when he's kicking and fouling people all over the pitch, which he was controlling himself tonight. I think all of our defence played well, and I was extremely pleased with Chambers and his runs down the right-hand side. And I thought quite a few of the players had good interactions with the fullbacks had good interactions with the players ahead of them, because quite a few times you see Saka. I'm going to call him Saka and Sacco. Saka and Kola were swapping places and they were doing brilliant. So it was just a really good night for all of our defenders. It was nice to see.
Well, give us 2 seconds. We're going to come back in a second, okay? Saka has a shot saved by David De Gea. On the rebound then, Guendouzi comes in. De Gea does really well, Carl, to save from Guendouzi. Oh, that was a bit frustrating, wasn't it?
Is he muted?
You muted, Carl.
No, you just need to turn up your headphones, donuts.
Sorry, Carl.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be very honest with you. Can I be a bit harsh and say that I think Guendouzi should have done a little bit better? And if he had hit that a bit harder, yes, it's very hard. He was running in and I get it. But I just think that if he had hit that just a little bit harder, does he make it easier for De Gea, like, the way he hits it? If it had gone higher, does it make it too much? I don't know. I just feel like that was a really big chance, and I feel like he should have done just a little bit better with that chance. Not take nothing away from De Gea, and I ain't giving him praise, but it was a very, very good save. I just feel that he could have done a little bit better.
I know a Welshman would have buried that. Robbie Burton. Sorry, you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Right, so let's get to it then. I'm going to get both your views on this. I'm going to start with you, Danny. You see Dan James piled on the right-hand side. Inside it was at the moment. Guendouzi's trying to keep up. He can't keep up with pace. James puts the ball in. It overshoots, comes out, I think it was to Rashford or Lingard, I can't remember who, our whole fucking defence is just stood there. It's just fucking stood there. They stop after the first phase. The ball comes back out to McTominay. You see Socrates sliding in. You see Xhaka there in a second. We're going to do this piece by piece. And McTominay just puts a screamer in. Leno has no chance. What's your view on it?
I think it all comes from just before that. Pepe and Saka had a bit of a run on goal, and that's the one where Pereira falls over. Saka takes a shot, De Gea saves it. Then Guendouzi has a narrow shot, and then De Gea gets it, and then bang, counter attack. They cut their honours, and then like you were saying, it looked like Guendouzi was trying to catch up with play, and I think Guendouzi went to pass to someone, and then it went to one of their players. And then it come back again, and then it's over near the manager, the dugout, and there's two players, and Guendouzi's there, and Guendouzi's spinning around like a whirling dervish, going, "Who's got the ball? I've got the ball." And then they manage to get the ball 1-2, get it down the right hand side of the pitch, our right hand side, and then Guendouzi's running after him. I'm thinking, well, Guendouzi's going to catch him. Guendouzi just went, "Oh, can't be bothered," and slowed down and just let him go. And then the defenders took him on. And that's when the trouble started. And then are we allowed to talk about the goal yet?
Yeah. Crack on.
And then the ball comes over. They have a shot, and it comes back again. And it seems like all of our defenders almost turned off, as if the ball was going out, and that's it. It's going to be a goal kick or something like that. But it wasn't. The ball comes. I think he was saying like it was Rashford puts the ball back out, and McTominay goes, "I'll have a slice of this." Like we were saying earlier, like Cole was saying. You need to take your chances. You need to have a pot shot. He lined it up perfectly. No goalie in the world would have saved that, no matter where you were. And if you did that another 1,000 times, none of them would have gone in. And it doesn't help that it took a tiny touch off of Pappy.
Yeah, it takes deflection.
And then Xhaka goes, "I'm a captain. I've been made captain this week. Proudest moment of my footballing career. I'm going to lead by example." Oh, here comes the ball. Oh, dear, not having any of that. Don't want to hit it in my big, fat, ugly face. Bends over, top left-hand corner. And then you look at it after, and then Xhaka looks around behind him and went, "Oh, it seems to have gone in. I've got no idea how that happened." And Leno's there holding his arms up going, "Well, what the fuck am I meant to do when these morons are going to bend over and get out of the way?" What I'm going to say, the age-old thing, what would Martin Keown have done? And what would Tony Adamson done? They haven't got smashed-up faces like you, Jason, from shying away from the ball, have they? No, because they're real men like Jason. They'd have taken it in the face and then gone, "That's it. That's what I'm here for. I don't care. Women like a rugged-looking man, Jace. That's why you've had all the ladies, and that's why Xhaka will get fuck all."
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. Okay? I really am. First of all, Carl, your opinion. Kolasinac, very poor in losing the ball initially. Attempting to go for a ball that's not there. Then, you know, trying to moan for a free kick that was never going to be given. I got Guendouzi just fucking stood in the corner, which boils my piss.
He gave up.
But he wasn't alone. He was not alone, to be fair to him. Okay, Socrates going on the slide. Should he make himself bigger? And Xhaka, do you think Xhaka pulls out?
Carl, a couple of people, before you answer, Carl, a couple of people here are saying that from another angle, it looked like Xhaka was trying to head the ball.
I'm going to come into that in a second. Carl, answer the question, because I'm going to play devil's advocate in this.
All right, I've got it on my screen right here, if you want to see. I'm watching it now. So, for me, it's between Saka and Kolasinac. They both go for the ball, and they both stop. Both of them do not go for the ball. And that's the first phase, because they both think, "Oh, I'm not going for this." And McTominay wanted it more. Pass it to Pereira. So, as you said, Guendouzi's trying to keep up with Daniel James. No one's going to keep up with Daniel James, because Daniel James is flipping lightning. He is.
And let me point out, he's 15 million quid.
Yeah, and you know, he's also Walsh as well. Let's just put that out there as well. Like you said, the ball runs out, and like you said, every single one of our players just stops, because they seem to think, "Oh, he's not going to score from there." order them to stop. My issue is that Papi, he turns his back too quickly. And I can remember being on the radio show moaning about someone turning their back. I think it might have been that donut who left us, Koscielny. He turned his back on one game. I can't remember.
Oh, he did. Koscielny's turned his back so many times on shots. And this is what pissing me off at the moment.
I can remember being on a radio show and really going at Koscielny for turning his back and we lost that game. I can't remember what game it was, but I know we lost. So Socrates does exactly the same thing. He turns his back too quickly. Now, Dacian, if you're going to say to me that you think that Xhaka was trying to head the ball, I think you need glasses. I'll just give you my glasses. He ducks. There is no trying to head the ball. If you're trying to head the ball, you were trying to jump, wouldn't you? You would, because the ball's going high and you would jump.
The ball takes a deflection. To me, I'll be honest with you now, I don't give a shit about Xhaka one way or the other, okay? I really don't care, you know? I just try to defend him when I think he deserves defending and have a pop at him when I think he's done something wrong. On this occasion, I think he knows this is going to be a screamer. And he's gone to put his head down like that. The ball's taken a deflection. I see the flip. I see two sides of the coin. I see why you're saying what you're saying. But I think he's gone like that to put the head on it. And it just, the deflection takes it away. And that's all she wrote.
Nah, not having it. So I'm watching it right now. He ducks out of the way, Jason. His hands are behind his back because he's so worried about the handball, which, okay, I get that. I'm not worried about putting his hands behind his back. You can't always make yourself big because if that ball had struck his hand anywhere or his arm anywhere, it's a handball. So I get that. He ducks out of the way, Jason. He actually puts his head down. If you're trying to head the ball, and like you said, test deflection, surely you would jump. Surely you would try and jump. And
I don't think he thinks he needs to jump. I got to be honest with you, mate. I see your perspective on it. I see why people are calling him in this. But I've seen some shameful comments on him recently. And you wouldn't fucking say that if it was another player, another Arsenal player saying it. And I'm not talking about you now, okay? But you can't go around calling people names when I genuinely think he's tried to head that. And I know we're not going to convince each other on this, but I've got to agree to disagree with you on this one, mate. I don't think he's shut out to that. I think the deflection's taken it from where he thought it was going to be. You know, because for argument's sake, you say he's going to jump to make himself big or whatever. You know, maybe that would have been the better option. Maybe, you know, make yourself big, arms behind your back, you know.
Jason, he jumps, he gets that ball. If he jumps, he gets that ball.
Oh, look what we got. Sorry, I do apologize. We've got toxic headshot in the chat box. Toxic headshot. Look at him. He's giving it large in there. Hey, how's your wall, mate? How's your white wall? It's so silent. It's unbelievable. Welcome to the chat box. If you behave, everybody will be nice to you. If you don't behave, okay, you're going to get grief. And when you mention bottle, how was your Champions League final, fella? How was it?
He's probably just finished reading the book or colouring in the book because they're one step away, I think the book was called.
Yeah.
One step beyond.
But, you know, it's one of those things that I genuinely believe, okay, he's gone for the header. I think the deflection's taken it away. That's the way it is.
I think I think you and I will agree to disagree. Yeah. You are wrong, but at the same time, I don't know. I can't see anything that's going to convince me that. And I'm not just saying this because it's Granit Xhaka. I couldn't care less if it was Aubameyang, Lacazette, Guendouzi. I genuinely couldn't care what play it is. For me, from my perspective and what I'm looking at, I think he ducks like John Walsh on a Friday night. He definitely pulls out and he. I'm not saying the goal is totally his fault because it's not. The goal is not his fault. The goal is a collective team letdown. So I'm not going to blame Xhaka just for that because there are so many opportunities for us to stop that ball and we don't do it. But for me, he ducks out of the way. And like you said, it's a 50-50. You think you're right. I know I'm right. So we just have to agree to disagree.
Fair enough. To be fair to Toxic Headshot, okay, he's been awfully polite in that chat box. He's having a bit of banter. So, guys, let's be pleasant and polite, okay? I know, he may support the wrong club, but to be fair to him, he's not being abusive in the way that we've seen a lot of people in this chat box who come in, okay? So let's go there. We've had a donation from Arian Hadari, and he asked the question, what's going on with Torreira? We will ask that later on, Arian. Thank you ever so much, mate. You're an absolute star.
Jace, this person I just highlighted, is that one of your lot? Sounds like it. His name?
I think Arian's in Canada.
Irfan Dweji, isn't that Welsh for something? Fireplace or potato?
Behave yourself. Right, guys, that's the half. We go in 1-0 down. I don't think we deserve to be 1-0 down, but we didn't deserve to be to be ahead, that's for certain. Now, chat box. It's 10:45. It's a Monday night. The Arsenal have been crap. It's more crap football we're watching. And we had to watch United as well, and they really are shit. And I got 78 likes.
How many?
78, Dan.
And how many people?
300 odd.
If that was 78 people, that'd be acceptable. It's not right, is it, Carl?
Not at all. I think it's almost as bad as the Barbican Pirates on a Sunday morning.
They lost again this week. Kyan Jackson from Jamaica's in the house. Well, Kyan, if you're going to come into my house, tap that like button, please. We're up to 95. You're getting there, people. You're getting there. Now, what do you think a fair target is for tonight? I think it's got to be 150. It's just got to be 150. Okay? So, stop fucking about, chat box. Stop messing about, okay? Be like second half Villa Arsenal. Be like invincible Arsenal. Be like... I'm trying to think of something. No, I can't. Be like Aaron Ramsey.
Jay, them. If any of them work in London and they use the underground tomorrow, unless we get tappy-tappy, they're not getting to work.
Yeah, tappy-tappy or Carl will bring every line down.
To be honest, I did that today.
Yeah, exactly. It's not unusual. You know what I mean? It's really not. And he has the power. He's like Skeletor. Oh, no, He-Man, isn't it? E-man, that was. I have the power. So come on, people. Make your parents proud. Stop messing about, okay? Get on there. Tap that like button, 150, please, and make me happy. I've got to watch this shit football all the time. I've got to put up with him telling me, oh, we're trying to be proactive. You know, it just doesn't work, does it? We're not proactive. We're just bang average. So let's get on to the second half.
Before we go, we need to say hello to Craig there. Craig Scott from Same Old Arsenal podcast. He's in there. We've both been guests on there. And also Andy from the Gooners podcast. That scumbag, high on oxycodone, no idea what he's doing. And so hello to fellow podcasters. Go and follow both their podcasts. They're both brilliant.
Me and Craig having a chat yesterday. Oh, it's great. I love it. Top man. Craig, you're a top man. Andy, you're a top man, but you're a Yank, not English. Let's be honest, okay?
Mike is a scumbag.
Toxic Headshot just turned around in the... I'm loving Toxic Headshot, okay? He turns around, he says, since I came on, your viewers have gone up. Yeah, by the way. Well done. I like this guy a lot. I'm not being funny. He's coming in and he's joining in, and I respect that. So second half, Dan... actually, Carl, to you. Chambers to Aubameyang. Alba puts in the cross. Torreira just stuffs it up, doesn't he? Straight to GGG. It's wet, it's horrible, but should he have done better?
Yes. I'm always going to say, if we don't win the game, we can always have done better. Yes, he definitely should have. No, yes, 100%. I was going to say, well, it's not what he does, but... At the end of the day, you're on a football pitch. You should be competent and able to try and put the ball in the back of the net. For me, definitely, he should have done better.
Right, boys. Question for both of you. Kolasinac, We had a chat to this in the box in the WhatsApp group. There's a handball shout. Did Kolasinac handle the ball? What do you think, Dan?
I'm trying to think of the exact situation.
Cross goes in. Kolasinac's arm is slightly out.
What minute was that at? Because I might have made a note. A second half, I made no notes. Fuck it. No, it wasn't.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Carl, your view.
Yeah. It's a handball. It was 100% because I'm going to do what I always do. Had that been the other end of the football pitch and it was us against them and they had done that, if that was Harry Maguire, I would have been screaming handball. So, yes. And we were extremely lucky because the ball travels a very long way. Had it been straight at him, I could be like, didn't have time. Oh, that guy had a lot of time to get his hands out of the way. It was 100% handball, and we were very lucky not to get a penalty then, or not to concede a penalty.
The way I saw it, his arm came out and then started to come back in, and that's the only reason I can think that they haven't given a penalty there. It was VAR looked at it.
But look how far the ball travelled. He had, put this way, do you remember the Scum versus Man City and that one that was ruled off for handball? That is, for me, had that been Harry Maguire, the other end, Jason, would you be defending Harry Maguire now, right now, saying, oh, well, his hand was going back in, so I'm not too sure.
Yeah, but Carl, like I pointed out earlier on in the chat, in our WhatsApp group, I'm not a good person. I'm a one-eyed git, okay? I couldn't give a monkeys. Never a handball, okay? You know? Mr. Waffles said, rules say it's handball. To be fair, Mr. Waffles, I don't think you're wrong. Okay?
You can call him David, I know him.
So, David, I don't think you're wrong, but fuck them. Okay, we've had so many poor decisions up there. I couldn't give a monkeys, so I'm happy with that. Then we see Torreira off Ceballos on. Dan, your view on Torreira's game?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. As somebody who managed to convince him that he's speaking with a slight German accent and he's actually not 5 foot two, he's 6 foot tall or something, because, fuck me, I don't know who you think you are, my old fruit. If you're playing a midfield three of Guendouzi, Xhaka and Torreira, the first person in front of the defence has got to be Torreira, because those other two can't fucking do it. Guendouzi shouldn't have to do it. Xhaka doesn't want to do it. Those two are doing it. Meanwhile, he's fucking Torreira's running around up midfield like he's bloody Ruud Gullit in his prime. Fucking what the hell are you doing, boy? No, you can't do it. And then when he gets a chance at goal, the ball comes in. It's 5 foot off the floor. He tries to overhead kick it in it or whatever he did. It's 5 foot. You're never going to reach it unless you stand on someone. You, sir, you, if you are watching, you little Uruguayan shitbag, are not an attacking midfielder. Go out there, kick people. It's like asking Jason to do I don't know, the goalkeeper in rugby. He's not. He's a hooker. Look at him. I've no idea what a hooker does, by the way. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you're not fucking number 10. Stop it. When Emery, the only way we're ever going to get Emery to play the right 11 is if we only have 11 players at the club. If we only have one goalkeeper, one left winger, one right winger, that is the only fucking way. So we need we need 11 robots. Otherwise, Emery's just going to pick all the wrong players in all the wrong positions. I'm surprised you haven't tried playing the Aubameyang at left back. Fuck it, why not? God knows he's not getting any service up front, is he? Just do
it. The problem is, Danny, is that there was no other creative force in the team. So you could look at it and say, well, he's taking initiative and trying to get forward. That's the only way you could look at it, because Xhaka ain't going to give you fuck all. Guendouzi is very good at what he does, but he doesn't offer you that much going forward. He's a box-to-box. He is that guy who will give you the ball before the pass that's going to set you up with a goal. Apart from that, there was no, like you said at the start of this podcast, there was no creativity in the midfield. But at least Torreira was getting forward and trying to make something happen, because God knows no one else in the squad was doing it.
A 1-1 draw at Man United historically is a good result. Tonight we played poor in the first half. It's a fair enough result. But you can't let people like Torreira take the initiative. Like we said to Jason, start when it gets to 10. What did he do? 16, he's still not talking. That's what happens when you let people have some kind of power they shouldn't do.
Yeah, but then who else in the squad? If he doesn't do it, who else in the team would do it?
Probably, maybe, I don't know.
Well, depends on the pitch, I'd say.
He's got more skill than the entire Arsenal team put together. He's 30 years old. He should be in his prime playing behind the Aubameyang going, Aubameyang, I'm going to give you the ball through the middle. You're going to score 6 goals a game. Nah, just fucking, I don't know what he was doing the dirty laundry or whatever. I mean, I'm mad about he's not getting the chances.
Let's move on. So, Carl, then we see, it was bizarre, okay? We turn over the ball high. Ball goes through to Aubameyang. Harry Maguire is playing Aubameyang on by a magic mile. How the linesman can't see? I mean, Harry Maguire's got a bigger head than I've got. Okay, he's a lump, right? How the fucking linesman cannot see him? Okay, I nearly said touch judge. How the linesman can't see him? I don't know. Flag goes up. Referee does not blow the whistle. They've checked the recording. The referee does not blow the whistle. Okay. Aubameyang, beautiful finish. Goal is then given offside. VAR comes in. Goal is finally given. United pissing and moaning. Whistle was not blown any one point. What are your thoughts?
It was the best thing the referee done all game. it was. It genuinely was the best thing he's done the whole game. That's the definition of play to the whistle. Because, like you said, even when I watched the game, when I was watching it live, I said, he's on. Because because you think, he's offside, I thought he was on. I just automatically thought he was on. Not because it's Arsenal, I looked at the goal, looking at the game, thinking, nah, he's onside. Then when they showed the replay, I was like, oh, he's miles onside. That you, Jason. I thought, flipping hell. And I'm so glad that he actually put the ball into the back of the net. The referee delayed blowing the whistle. I think it was good that he done that. And I'm glad that Aubameyang did finish it because even, I think, De Gea kind of half-hearted went for it. He looked at the linesman, saw the flag was up and thought, oh, I'm not even going to bother for this. And he must have forgot that VAR was involved. And I'm so happy that it was, I don't think it was even, it was like a 2-second check. They saw one replay and thought, oh, he's miles on. What the fuck? So again, I was like, yep, it's a goal. And I'm so happy that Aubameyang put the ball into the back of the net because had the referee had blown early, it would have been a free kick to us, I believe, or a drop ball. I can't remember how they do it now. But the goal was actually quite good because he just lifted it over. And I have no complaints. There's no one in the world that can have any complaints about that goal. Fair and square is a goal, and it's the reason why VAR was brought in. Because could you imagine if VAR wasn't in? We would have lost that game if VAR wasn't there, 100%. So I'm kind of happy that VAR, for once, was used in favour for us, and we achieved what we wanted.
Yeah, can I just say something? I'd like to retract my statement and everything I said about Xhaka. Rob has just sent me a tweet with video shown from behind McTominay. Xhaka goes down and goes like that to try and get the ball away. Sorry, Xhaka. You did nothing wrong, me old fruit.
It's one of those things, isn't it? You know, it's like I get people will still have different opinions on this, but to me, you know, you look at it, if you're going to duck, you don't make that movement, you just don't. And for those of you listening on any of the platforms, sorry, but this is a live show on camera and I'm making the head movement with my head.
I've got an answer to that goal though, Jace, the linesman thing.
I want your reaction on this. The sweetest moment, Dan, the really sweet moment is when the air left the stadium and they started moaning. And you could see their faces and they were so unhappy. And you just thought, fuck you, you've got away with so much over the years. You have the cheek to sing that song, same old Arsenal was cheating. You're the worst cheating scum on the planet. And now you've had a bit of payback. What do you think of that, Dan?
I think you are exactly right. There was 0% oxygen in that stadium. No, oxygen and nitrogen. Air. Zero air in that stadium. It's not oxygen. If there's full of oxygen, we'd all be dead. It's mainly nitrogen. Yeah, there was no air in that stadium because they'd all breathed it in and they didn't like it. Up them, Jace. But my explanation of why the linesman did that, people, go get a pint glass. Go and get a pencil, stick it in the pint glass. It's one angle there. And when it's in the pint glass, it's moved across a couple of inches. That's what happened because it was so wet, a kind of refraction. That's what happened. The linesman did nothing wrong. It, you see, you said wet eyes.
Jesus, wet.
The only VAR. It's the, like Craig put in the chat earlier, it's the only time it's ever worked. That's the last time. Retire VAR now. You've done your job. Thank you very much. Good night.
I'm not being funny. You don't get this sort of analysis anywhere else. And there's a good reason for that. Oh, it was beautiful watching their faces. It was a good goal. Nobody can moan. How the linesman can't see Maguire. I'm sorry. But, you know, that was utter incompetence. Carl, we then get a Saka shot deflected over. Really good cross from Chambers. Pogba fires wide. He only just missed it. We were all over the place defensively at this point. McTominay gets a free header from a corner. You know, Leno makes a save from a Maguire screamer. If Saka scores that opportunity straight after the goal, we're on. We're going to win. But we let the momentum go, didn't we?
Are we not? If we're going to praise Saka for all the good that he done, are we not going to?
I thought that was well defended. Lindelof got across there.
So you don't think he should have done better again? Like, if we're going to praise players for all the good that they do, let's be critical of the bad they do. Whether how old he is, he's 18, I believe, and he's just coming to the squad. I understand, but I think he should have done a bit better there. I'm just gonna be honest with you, like. That's cost us. That's not the only reason why we didn't win. So let me just say that right now. However, it's cost us a victory, I think, a little bit, because had he scores that, I do believe we go on to win the game. Although it's Arsenal, so who knows what could have happened in the last minute of flipping our defending. But Man United were definitely trying to get on top. They did have a few chances. I thought that Pogba chance was. I was really scared. Yeah. Definitely the free kick that Rashford had right on the edge of our area, again, was kind of like a squeaky bum moment. The Harry Maguire free header, again, like you're thinking, why the hell has he got that much space? So there was opportunities for Manchester United to win it. At the same time, there's opportunities for us to win it. We both had, I think Man United probably had just edged it in opportunities, but for me, it was, had someone said, would I take a 1-1 draw at the start? Probably not. I wanted to win the game. I never want to take a draw. Was that a fair result? Yeah, you could look at it and say that was definitely a 1-1 draw was a fair result, because neither team excelled in what they did. And at the same time, I think we created enough chances to say, yeah, honours even.
Fair enough. It was really disappointing to see the way we didn't capitalise on the momentum. But I think, yeah, you got a point on Saka. I thought it was really good defending from Lindelof. But, you know, it's a fair point you make. Gabriel Gamal Kaufman has just smashed in the £5 donation, and he says, here's an Aubameyang gift, but I'm taking two away because we suck. Although low key, it was defensive improvement in recent weeks. Yeah, I think, you know, look, we only let one in. You know, you got to say that. But, God, it just frustrates me. You know, we were going up there with so much hope and they've been trash. And we just, I don't know. Dan, we then see Pepe and Nelson. Pepe replaced by Nelson. I'm going to ask you both your thoughts on Pepe. That's £72 million of the player. And he had zero positive effect on the game today. He's new to the league. You've got to give him time to settle in. But I was very, very, very disappointed in him tonight. I've got to be honest with you. I thought what he put out in the park was not worthy of a professional footballer at times. I thought he was, you know, he lacked interest at times. I thought, you know, if you're a £72 million player, fine. You do not set the price. That's out of your control. But act like one. You know, have a go. Try to take the game by the scruff of the neck. What were your thoughts on him?
I think today he didn't do too well. Let's call it a spade a spade. He was bad today. There were so many times he picks the wrong pass. I find he does this often. He picks the wrong pass. And today was not the only time he's done it. He's done it against Aston Villa, I can remember. He's done it against Liverpool as well. It's almost like he tries to be too clever. Like, and I know we talk about the Farmers League, but at the same time, you have to understand that you don't get the same time on the ball that he did in France that you do here. You're not allowed 4 or 5 seconds on the ball, because here, as soon as you get the ball, they will get to you. And I know we saw him against Newcastle, saw him against Liverpool. He's all excited that, oh, he's dribbled past Van Dijk, the first player to do it. He's going to be a world beater. But seriously, since he's come, what has he done? And I'm like you, Jason. We've got to give him time. We have to. And yeah. I can't stress this enough. We have to give him time. He's in a new country. It's a new way of football. Yes, he was good in France because he was used to the league. And I totally understand that. And I am all for giving him time. And I did say that come Christmas, if he's not got more than 5 goals on 5 assists, then you start looking at thinking, okay, what is going on here? Because he's got his bedding in period. You're right, Jason. He does set the price tag. So whether he went for, in the words of Arsene Wenger, I'm sorry he didn't, you know, sorry he cost 5 million or whatever. But at the same time, is he living up to the expectation that we require? No. Today he was bad. He was really bad today. And I'm so glad that he was taken off. But we have to give him time. How much time we give him, Arsenal fans are not the most forgiving of a fan base. But for me, you've got to dust yourself down. He's not going to play in Europe. He's going to... Who have we got after?
We got Europe? The age. Stand in the age.
Yeah, he's not, I very much doubt he's going to play that game. But then we go back to the league and hopefully he does better. But for me, a massive improvement needs to happen, and it needs to happen quite quickly.
Yeah, Dan, on the same point. Now, John brought up a stat last week where in all of Unai's career, wingers have only contributed 10 goals, apparently, to his teams. Is it a case of we're not putting Pepe in the right places to succeed? We're not setting up for him to flourish? Or do you think this is more down to the player at the moment?
I think sometimes you can't go and buy Branston baked beans. You've got to go and get Heinz baked beans. It's a touch of the Zaha's when he went to Man United. It's a big fish, little pond. No, little fish, big pond. Whichever, something to do with fishes and ponds. He was magnificent there. He's 24 years old. And I'm looking at his time at Lille. He had 22 in 38 last season, 13 in 36 the season before that. I'd say the majority, half of those were going to be penalties. So he's someone who is going to get you in the Farmers League. He's going to get you 10 or 11 goals a season that aren't penalties. When you translate that to the Premier League, maybe he's only going to be a player that's going to get you 5 or 6 goals a season. I was surprised that when we got him, that I thought he was about 18, 19, 20. He's 24 years old. Yeah. He can have all the time in the world for me. But it does look like there's something not quite right, because when you're that one who's meant to be that good and you are shooting over the bar, you don't look like confident. And I think it's, you know, when we buy a new player and they don't come into the first team straight away, maybe that's what he needed. There's been people in the chat box said maybe he needs a bit of a rest. But when a player comes to the club, I think this is a classic case possibly of maybe he should have been brought on after a couple of games as a substitute, not been thrown straight in at the start and saying, off you go on, get on with it. And also he's only supplying one player, isn't he? Aubameyang, and he's not getting the service from midfield. Now, if he was playing in the Ozil, maybe in the Ozil kind of area or a free role cover, because he's left foot but plays on the right. But if he could play with Lacazette and Aubameyang in front of him and he's getting a little bit of service from midfield, then maybe that would make him look a whole lot better. I'm not sure what position he played when he played for Lille. I know he was out wide, but was he out wide with someone balancing on the other side and a striker up front? Or was he doing whatever he wanted? I don't know. But I think the bloke needs a rest because there's far too much pressure on him. And you could hear people going, oh, whenever he missed, quite rightly, because we expect him for all that money. Just doesn't seem to be working out at the moment, does it? But if you're not giving him if you're not giving him stuff to create, then maybe that's it. I don't want to be harsh on the kid. He's only played 8 games for us.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. I mean, look, we saw Willock replace Saka. I thought Saka was a lot more impressive. Okay, and you can't really compare them, but I think Saka has a bit more intent about him, a bit more confidence about him. You know, there was a lot of this, I had a lot of bollocks after the transfer window. Don Raul, all this nonsense. Okay, is it going to be Don Raul or Dumb Raul? I'm hoping for Don Raul, and I'm hoping Pepe works out. But, you know, we need more from him. He needs to relax, try to enjoy his football. He needs to start running up players. And, you know, we need to find a way of playing him into the game. Is it the midfield that's holding him back? I don't know. But,
Chase, look what Matthew Hudson's put there. I think he sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Matthew Hudson says we can judge Pepe. Saka took on Man United players. What has he done? Drive them in the box. Yeah, and this is the thing. It's wet. People are making silly challenges. You've got to commit to players. You've got to run at them. You've got to take pot shots. We weren't doing any of that, and that was annoying. Sam Ruth has just smashed in with a donation, $5, and he says, here's to a better performance against the Belgian lot on Thursday. Happy times. Sam, fingers crossed. Let's be honest, it's the Europa League. If we don't get a better performance, there'll be hell to play. Because I've got to do this crap again then. And I'm telling you, I just get, when you're watching shit football all the time. Carl, we then see Klaas, Nudge and Chambers struggling with injuries. We've made all the substitutions. Can't blame Unai for that. United are pressuring us. You get James winning a free kick in the edge of the box. Leno, magnificent save from Marcus Rashford. Leno saving us again.
Yes, him and Aubameyang, it's a fight between those two for player of the season at the moment, isn't it? I was scared of that free kick because in all intents and purposes, you could just see Man United getting a late winner. And I just thought, oh gosh, like, what's going to happen here? I personally thought Rashford was going to go under the wall near post, but he decided to try and go around the wall. And good save from Leno. Very good, strong hand. He done well. And credit to him. He's kept us in the game and earned us our point today.
Yeah, he did. Dan, we then see Willock drive into the box, cross it to Nelson. Nelson fluffs it. And, you know, it just, that kind of just summed the game up for me. You know, we were bang average.
So were they. And either one of these teams could have won it tonight. But I think on balance, if you go and have a look at all the chances created and all the other stuff, I think we should have won that game tonight. I'm happy with a 1-1 draw away at United, but so many missed chances and so lack of creativity. You've got to think that Aubameyang is in there now, kicking walls and punching children, because I'd be fucking furious. They were there for the taking. And thankfully, I think Leno should get a high five from someone as well, because Leno was brilliant tonight. He saved at least two goals from going in. We were unlucky. We're playing like it was the first couple of games of the season, and it wasn't. It's our eighth or ninth game of the season in all competitions.
I just genuinely think, you know, if it's not for Leno and Aubameyang, they're keeping the ship afloat at the moment. You get Guendouzi coming in with good and bad.
How about this, Chase?
Some brilliant...
What Richard had just put there, you were just mentioning Guendouzi. Guendouzi tried laying behind the wall.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
What's that?
To stop the old Stefan Schwartz. A free kick under the wall. Yeah. He laid down, he got back up in the wall. But we've seen that.
He spent half the game falling over as it was.
Yeah, we've seen that a few times. Guys, you know, the game was what it was. It was two bang average teams in poor conditions, serving up, quite frankly, crap football. Mesut Ozil not in the squad today. Dan, what do you think is happening there? Because I'm getting increasingly frustrated.
You've got to look at it from many different points of view. He's ruining his career. He has virtually played bugger all football for the last two seasons, this one and the last one. The club can't be happy paying 350 grand a week to someone who isn't playing. He's by far the highest paid player at the club. He earns more than a manager. We're crying out for some creativity in midfield. And that all this nonsense about bad back, he's not well, blah, blah. No, maybe after that thing happened, the carjacking, yeah, understandably. Kolasinac took some time off as well. And apparently his wife has left the country and gone back to Germany. Well, that might upset him a little bit. But this kind of nonsense has been going on for too long. He either needs to play him or get rid of him, because financially it's an absolute disaster. And when Ozil does get a game, he looks dejected. He doesn't look like he's part of the team. He wants to be playing there. So I don't know what's going on. He's definitely, all these injuries, that's not what's going on. And some have said that he may well be unhappy mentally, health-wise. If he is, not playing him is not going to be helping. I don't know if playing him would help, but that's his career. That's his job. He loves football. He should be playing as often as possible after he saw the shower shit that we had in midfield tonight. And oh, it's so frustrating. That bloke should be, with those front three, he should be getting 20 assists a season with supplying. We've waited. He's been with us 6 years now, 5 years or 4 years. We've been waiting for Ozil to have the people up front. When Ozil was at his prime, he had Giroud, needed six shots to get one on target. And now he's got the people there that can make Ozil look brilliant. He's not playing. I've got no idea what's going on. Maybe one day we'll find out, but it's driving me nuts.
Agreed. Carl, Archie puts in the box. Emery cannot handle good players. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of inclined to agree, right? Because didn't Emery have a problem at PSG as well with Neymar? And obviously, I'm not going to, at the moment, I can't really defend Neymar the way he kind of went about trying to get his move to Barcelona. However, it seems that when a club has a superstar, and I don't know what he did at Seville and also at Valencia. I don't know if they had any superstars that he couldn't deal with. However, I personally think the treatment of Ozil at the moment is horrible. I really do. This is a game that was crying out for creativity, absolutely crying out. And you're one of the most creative midfielders in world football can't get into this squad. Are you serious? Like, how does that happen? Like, it's ridiculous. For me, this is a game that he should have been played in. 100%. For me, you play Ozil in this game, because if you're saying that Ozil can't handle McTominay and injured Pogba, that's ridiculous. And I'm not just saying this because we didn't win the game. I'm saying this because it's silly for him not to be even in the squad. Like, you play 60, 70 minutes against Watford. Then apparently he's resting him in the Frankfurt game, which I think there was probably the reason why he didn't want to go to Germany, and because of what's happened with Ozil in Germany. I can kind of understand not taking him. And then he doesn't play against Aston Villa, and now he doesn't play against Manchester United. It's ridiculous. I think Emre, for me, his treatment of Ozil is absolutely horrible. And we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. We don't know if it's a mental health issue. We don't know if there's actually something wrong with Ozil. We have no idea, and I hate to speculate. However, there's got to be something more to it. You can't just not like a player of Ozil's caliber and just decide, oh, I'm not playing him. Absolutely ridiculous. If it was that bad, then maybe he should have got rid of him in the summer. Maybe they tried and they couldn't get no one to buy him. We will never know that. That's a behind the scenes thing. For me, it's just Emre can't treat him like this. He can't, especially someone who's meant to be so good. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to be Ozil's biggest defender, because Ozil does need to be better. He does need to work harder. However, he was good in the Watford game. Put him off after 70 minutes, and look what happened. I don't know. Ozil, for me, has to be at least be in the squad. How can you say that Ozil is not good enough to be in the 18-man squad to play Manchester United away? For me, that's an issue.
Yeah, it is. It is. Right, let's go to questions. I'm gonna take issue with one comment in the box. Age84 says the attacking football under Wenger for his last three seasons was non-existent. The last season was atrocious away from home. Good at home, plenty of goals. The season before that, we won the FA Cup against an excellent Chelsea side, and we did play some good attacking football, but dropped out of the top four. The season before that, we finished second, I think. There's a lot to be said on both sides of the coin. Okay, you know, let's be honest, it was the right time for Arsene to go. I love Arsene Wenger, but it was the right time for him to go. I was really excited about Unai Emery. I thought he'd do well. I'm very, very disillusioned with him. And I have been since last season, to be honest with you. But, you know, onwards and upwards. Eric Newcomer smashes in with a donation. And he says, if Emery keeps us playing so average and boring, would you like to see Freddie take the reins? Tappy, tappy. Now, Eric makes a really good point. I've got 133 likes. That's 150, is it? No, it's not. Tappy, tappy, let's get going. Come on. I think that would be massive pressure on Freddie, to be honest with you.
Too early for him. I think it's far too early for him.
It's like a poison chalice then. I've got to be honest with you, Eric. I think, you know, there's you've got to pick a right time. And I'm not sure there's enough talent in the midfield at the moment. I think we need a B2B. And I don't think we've got one with that now. So I think you're asking a hell of a lot of young Joe Willock, a young Guendouzi. You know, they're going to need time to come through. They do need time to develop. It's not fair just to expect the world from them straight away. And I know people say, oh, so-and-so was ready, so-and-so. It's not always like that. You don't always get those great, great players who are ready to flourish straight away at a young age. You know, some of them need development, and it would be, I think it would be just too big an ask. So let's go to questions, guys. Guys, keep it in the chat box. I'm now in StreamYard, okay? First of all, to you, Daniel. Unique79 says, are you worried about Pepe? He is showing that we wasted so much money on him. What do you think?
We only spent £20 million on him. The next couple of seasons we pay, it's over four seasons because Lille weren't allowed to have all the money in one go. He's still young enough that we could flog him at the end of the season to another team and not lose any money. And I think that's maybe what the plan was with players like that. It happened. Dortmund do it all the time. I think he may just need time to settle in. He is a French speaker. And his mate would have been Lacazette. Lacazette hasn't been playing for a few games. Maybe that's something to do with it. I'm not overly worried. No, he might need to take his time a little bit. There again, what do I know? I mean, I was brilliant at Football Manager 2010, but that's just legends.
Fair enough. Fucking hell.
They named the stadium after me, Davis. They did.
I'm lost for words. I'm just lost for words. I don't know what to say anymore. Carl, Unique79 again. He says, why are we so taking short corners so often? I find it so frustrating. I got to be honest with you. Have we fucking scored from a short corner? Have we put any pressure on the keeper from a short corner?
Our set piece delivery is atrocious. And I'm talking about from our free kicks to our corners. I want to say that Unai Emery works on. He's meant to be like the most tactical manager in the world. Like he's really hands on. Nothing that we've seen shows that. For me, our corners are atrocious, really, really bad. We can't beat the first man. Like it's just something's wrong there, and I don't think we are good enough in our set piece delivery. And it's something that needs to work. We need to work on and quite quickly as well.
Agreed. There's zero development in that aspect of the game, like a lot of the other aspects of the game, and it's becoming very boring, very old, and unacceptable, to be honest with you. Just fucking unacceptable. It's not good enough. Danny Marcus Hodges asks, why was Unai again playing Xhaka as the deepest midfielder?
Because he's a moron. Next.
Okay, Carl, will Emery ever start a game with the right midfield, or will we have to wait until a half-time in every game?
Until Emery leaves, we will never start with the right midfield.
That's a bit harsh. Okay. Junior Gunner asks Dan, on a serious note, he says, would Memphis Depay be a more wise option instead of Pepe? Had a great season for Lyon, getting double figures, and has matured since leaving United, and is more built than Pepe.
He is a bit of a knob, though. I liked him when he was playing. I think he was playing in Holland before that. Also, Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I know he's playing at Lyon at the moment. He's one of their best players. And no, I wouldn't really want him. He failed at Man United. I think he's a bit of a tit. And anybody, as we found out, can look good in the Farmers League. I mean, think, Jace, you've still got another couple of years if Koscielny has, and you've got only one. You've got one more knee than he has. His knees, it was his knees, wasn't it?
Fuck, I don't know.
You're not good to get one at the moment.
Ask yourself a question, Jace.
Well,
no, just pick one of the questions.
Oh, I'm going to ask myself the next one.
I'm not doing therapy on you. You need to sort yourself out.
Sorry. Sean Lee Goodwin asks, and I'll answer this one then. How many years away do you guys think we are from a proper Premier League challenge? Sean Lee, I'm not sure if it's years. I think it's managers. And we're definitely one away from a proper Premier League challenge. I'm sorry. I don't want to campaign against Unai. I don't want to give him too much grief. We call it the way we see it. I wanted him out last season. I want him out now. I think he's bang average. We play dog shit football. We've not developed a performance in any way, shape or form. I'm going up to United against that team tonight and showing zero ambition for me. I think that's fucking awful. I've got to be honest. I think it's fucking awful. So that's my opinion on it. Carl, Aaron Hadari asks, what's going on with Torreira?
He's being used incorrectly. That's the problem. He's being used. Shut up, Danny.
Sorry, Carl.
Jason, stop banging on the table.
Thank you.
he's been used incorrectly. He's been used as a box-to-box rather than what he was renowned for in Italy and sitting in front of the defence, clearing up anything that comes towards him. That's basically what's up with Torreira.
Fair comment. Danny, Craig Scott from the same old Arsenal podcast.
Brilliant podcast.
Enjoy listening to that. Asks, why is Emery calling back a centre-half from going up to try to win a header in the last minute?
Because he's a moron. There's a theme here, Jace. I was all season pubbing Emery in, and I don't ever, very rarely don't want the manager sacked. I want the manager to go, like I want Wenger to go at the end of the season. I don't really want a manager sacked, but we are not going to have the likes of, we're going to look, I mean, I said a couple of years ago, we're going to look back at the time of some of the players that Wenger had in these last few years and go, why didn't this work? Look at the players we've got now. We've got two of the world's best strikers. We've got one of the bells, historically one of the world's best creative midfielders in Ozil. Maybe he's like Per. Maybe he's lost his love for football after winning the World Cup. We've got a brilliant goalkeeper. But it's not like we've got Almunia in goal, flapping around, giving it windmills all the time. It's not like we've got a Boué at right back. But the final straw for me is when we have got Holding, Bellerin and Tierney playing. And if they're all playing and we are still floundering, not knowing what we're doing, I'm going to be all aboard the choo-choo train of Emery needs to go and Lundberg needs to come in. That'll be the final straw with me, and I'm never manager out.
Fair comment. Carl, John Bernstein asked, how much money will we save by not firing Emery until the end of the season, and will it be worth it?
I don't think he'll get fired this season unless I just don't think it's worth it. If this is his last season and I think we've got to have an option to extend for next year, then I think we'll keep him. The only way he gets fired if we're like eighth in March and we're out of like the Europa Cup, then I can see him getting fired. Apart from that, I don't see him getting fired.
Fair comment. I'm going to answer the next one. Rudy Rastloss, what do we think of Chambers' performance? I thought he was very good. I thought the yellow card he gave away so early was stupid. You know, he needs to cut that out. He panicked because of James's pace. He's great going forward. I don't think he's a natural right back, though. I think he's a centre-half. I've got to be honest there. I'd be giving him a go at the moment. I really would. Question for all of us. Sean Harmon asks, question for later, he says, what's your Emery in-out ratio? I'm 0% in, 100% out. Pointless keeping now, going nowhere fast. His approach is destroying confidence. International breaks a good time to cut your losses. Carl, starting with you.
I am 60% out. No, sorry, 70% out, 30% in.
Danny, you.
I want to give you one an analogy, Jace. It's like having a box of chocolates.
For fuck's sake.
That box of chocolates is safe, but once I get to one of those chocolates, the entire lot are gone. So at the moment, I'm 100% in. But once I get to 1%, gobble, 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 100% isn't far away.
Fair comment. I just sacked him last season, and I've seen nothing so far this season to change my mind. I think the club are going to keep him until the end of the season. I want him to change my mind. I want him to start playing attractive football. I want him to start winning these games. I don't have much confidence in him, though, so I'm 100% out. I'm sorry. I don't want to be negative, but that's the way it is. Carl, John Bernstein asks, Emery was smiling at the end. Was this the best he expected, and is that good enough for you? Julian Salmon asks, how long in the season do we keep faith with Emery? Allegri is still available. Sorry, it's all the questions about Emery now. I do apologise.
We do know we've only lost one game all season. We are aware of that. But it's
Danny, it's not just about the performances as well. We haven't played well. What game can you say this season we played well in?
Forest, that's our level.
Exactly. Just what I'm saying. Exactly. So this is what I'm saying. Now, what game can you honestly say that, do you know what, that was a great Arsenal performance? Not one game this season have we played well in. Not even one, and I genuinely mean that. So you can say, you can divide it how you want. Would you take, if we were winning games, you would take crap the way we played shit. You'd think, oh, you know, we're playing so shit, but we're winning games. Who the fuck cares? Right now, we are drawing against Watford. We are scraping a win against Villa. We are drawing against a very, very shit Man United team. We've lost against Liverpool, rightly so, but that's the only hard team we played. Like, let's face it, we still got to play Man City. So for me, he's just not, he's meant to be our manager, and he's meant to be the person who leads. So he's not even a manager, he's our coach. The only thing he has to do is coach these players on how to play football. He doesn't have to worry about anything else that Arsene Wenger did. His only main job, go on the football pitch and make us win games. And he's not doing that at the moment. He didn't do it in the last season, and at the moment he's not doing it now. So why is he here?
Chase, read that question from that comment from Joe. That's brilliant.
Is this now La Liga 2.0 with City and Liverpool being real and Barca, being Real and Barca miles ahead of everyone else? We are literally Sevilla under Emery.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, take a bow, Joe. That's brilliant.
Joe Madeira, 1993. I think you may have a bit of a point, mate. I think the big thing is, you know, I had people telling me, oh, we're going to smash Tottenham. I had people telling me, oh, we could get a win at Liverpool. You know, we're going to beat Watford. We're going to, you know, smash Villa. And each and every time we're going to go and we're going to smash United, you know what I mean? And each and every time we flatter to deceive, and there's no development in this team. There was no development in the team last season. There's none so far this season. And that is really worrying. Last question. And we're all going to answer this, starting with you, Daniel. John Bernstein asks, if you could only make one realistic change at the club, what would it be?
Shoot more. No, defend more. I don't know, Jason. I don't do anything. I won't be sitting here talking to you twats. I've been managing Arsenal to our 50th consecutive Premier League title. Oh, realistically, play the right players in the right positions and don't go, oh, no, I want more ball winners, when there's no point winning the ball if you're not going to give it to anyone, I suppose. Stop playing players out of position. You look at Ceballos against Newcastle or Burnley. Absolutely fucking brilliant. Now what has he done? He's turned him to shit. He's managed to do an Ozil on Ceballos in four games. That's some turnaround. That's fucking genius.
It's not good, is it, Carl?
I'm actually really thinking about this, and you say realistic, so I can't just say, I'll give Arsenal Man City money. Like, if a realistic change, I'm going to say the manager, because for me, that is the issue. I can't think of, we got the players that we kind of needed. So it's not a player issue. The manager is not playing the players that we have in the right position. Or so for me, one realistic change has got to be the manager.
Fair enough.
What about you, Jason? What about you?
I'll answer that in a second. I just need to chastise the chat box. 149 likes. That's not 150. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're Unai Emery? Or do you think you're Pep Guardiola?
Sort your life out.
Tap that like button, please.
Jason, read what Zoidberg's put for his idea.
Play all our games at the Emirates. That's a fair comment. For me, I would actually like him to stop overthinking. Get us a footballing identity. Get us playing front foot football. Let's be attacking. Let's have a go. Because I think, you know, if we are more proactive in games, we will defend better. We, you know, everything will click into place. At the moment, you know, if you're looking at our midfield tonight, the midfield was the most negative midfield I've ever seen. You know, you've got forward-thinking players like Joe Willock around. Ceballos is a beautiful passer of the ball. He's, as Danny said, he's been made to look awful. Mesut Ozil, you, whether you like him or loathe him, I don't really care. He has got the capacity to actually, you know, create. And we do not seem to be doing that. We picked the perfect midfield last season, which started us, you know, where we beat Tottenham, okay, in the second half, where we beat, you know, Chelsea. You need to set up to be aggressive. You need to be putting pressure on the ball. You need to be the team setting the agenda. That's the one thing I'd bring, and that's the one change I'd make at the moment. Other than that, I just don't see how we're going to move forward. I don't. That's it. So, to all of you in the chat box, it's been a brilliant chat box tonight. Even the spud in the box was good, to be fair to him. Thank you all ever so much for participating. You've been brilliant. It's been really enjoyable to see everybody, you know, interacting in there. Special thanks to J-Rob, Benjamin Ashton, Thomas McClement, Unique79, Marcus Hodges, Aryan Hidari, Gabrielle Gumail Kaufman, Sam Ruth, and Eric Newcomer. Thank you for your donations, guys. You spoil us. We appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. To all of you listening on any other platform, thank you. You know, without you guys, we are just a bunch of muppets talking bollocks to ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
I include you, mate. I do include you. Your support is really, really appreciated. Thank you ever so much. One last shout out again, Ellis Mel. We love you, bro. Keep your chin up. Keep going forward. Keep smiling, pal. You take care. Danny, thank you for your appearance and talking bollocks.
It was the least I could do.
Thank you very much. Carl, you've got to get to bed now. Thank you ever so much, mate. Really good to talk to you.
I will be ruining people's journeys in the morning.
Andrew Fife, look out. Chatbox, you're superb. Thank you so much. Take care. Keep it Arsenal. It's on to standard. Actually, I've forgotten to say. Podcast this week, Simon Collings, Dave Faber, Cactus Cash, Richard's on. Josh Dawes on, the real Josh Dawes on, and Danny on Thursday, Standard the Age. I think it's myself, it's Josh. What else is it? Shit.
Make it out, no one cares.
Forgot.
An A another.
It's not A another. It's not A another.
Is it AMN?
It's you.
Oh.
It's you. That'd me, Danny, nice. And Josh.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm gonna try and get Josh to host it tomorrow night and then I won't have to be on.
Superb. Thank you so much, guys. Take care. Good night. Keep it Arsenal. Danny, switch this shit off.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.